Though it's never listed in the New Testament as a spiritual gift, some Christians have the gift of gab. They can talk to anyone about anything. They can put others at ease, even in the most uncomfortable situations. They've never met a stranger. Frankly, I envy them. I wish I had that kind of ability. Yet as Christians, we are all called to be witnesses for Christ. Just before returning to heaven, Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, a man wanted to become a disciple of Jesus, but Jesus had a different idea. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus said to him, "Go home, tell your family how much the Lord has done for you." Jesus did not say, "I want you to go to Bible college and seminary and get a degree, become ordained minister and go and preach sermons." What did he say? "Go, tell your family. Tell those who know you what the Lord has done for you." It reminds me of an Easter sermon I preached many years ago based in Matthew 28, verses 6 and 7. "Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples." One of the easiest outlines I ever had. Come and see, go and tell. And that's what we're called to do. And especially at Christmas time, I think it's a very fitting injunction. Come and see the baby born in the manger, and then go and tell the good news. That is exactly what we see in the Christmas shepherds. And they are the focus of my message this morning. The problem, though, for most of us is we who know the Lord don't really know how to move out into the world. Instead, we have withdrawn from it. So while 98% of us sit back and let the pros and the gifted in the church do the job, the gospel continues to be little known and still less believed. By our withdrawal, we are depriving people the only opportunity they may have to hear the gospel. And we also stifle ourselves spiritually, for we're denied the experience of seeing people genuinely born into the family of God. And trust me, if you ever have that experience, it's unlike any other. To be able to lead someone to Christ and to see the change in their life and the excitement they have, it's priceless. It's really something that you can't wait to do again. We need to be reminded of a truth was shared by Timothy Keller in his book, The Prodigal Prophet. He says, mission is not only for the spiritual elite, or for the well-rested, or for people with the gift of gab, or for outgoing personalities, or with those with theological training. It is for every person who belongs to Christ. It is because God is by nature a sending God. He never calls us in to bless us without also sending us out to be a blessing to others. So as we conclude this series on sharpening our spiritual skills of Christmas, I want to consider the skill of witness. And we see that in the shepherds, that passage that was read for us earlier from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I know some have said, well, that proves that Christ couldn't have been born in December because they wouldn't be out in the fields. Well, for one thing, it's a whole different climate. And in fact, there is good reason to believe that they would have been out in the fields even during that time of year. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a child has been born, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Now, if that wasn't shocking enough, middle of the night, here's an angel appears. Then it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now it's a whole angelic choir that is joining in, lighting up the sky, filling with the voices of the angels, "Glory to God in the highest." And what was their reaction? It said that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. There's a real sense of urgency here. They weren't going to lose any time. Let's go now. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Now, we're familiar with the shepherds, right? We see them every year in the Christmas programs. I always think of a Charlie Brown Christmas. Shermie gets his part. He's a shepherd. He says, "I'm always a shepherd. Every year is the same. I'm always a shepherd." Well, we always have shepherds in the Christmas program. I remember when I was very young, probably 5 or 6 years old, I had a whole collection of stuffed animals, and I had this one dog, and they needed sheep for the Christmas program, and my brothers glued cotton balls all over that dog, and that was a sheep, because shepherd needs sheep. So even I sacrificed for the Christmas program that year. We know about the shepherds. You see them in every manger scene, every nativity display. We may not be familiar with why it was so surprising that God would have appeared to the shepherds, that he would have told them first about the good news of Christ's birth. One New Testament scholar, Leon Morris, reveals, as a class, shepherds had a bad reputation. The nature of their calling kept them from observing the ceremonial law, which meant so much to the religious people. More regrettable was their unfortunate habit of confusing mine with thine, if you get what he means, as they moved about the country. They were considered unreliable. They were not allowed to give testimony in the law courts, according to the Talmud. Now, there's no reason of thinking that Luke's shepherds were anything other than devout men, else why would God have given them this privilege? But they did come from a despised class. Now, though Jewish culture despised shepherds, God sent word of the birth of his son first to people, I believe most likely, to welcome the news of the Messiah, people who wanted a Savior. God knew their hearts. He knew that they were the kind of people that would respond. They wouldn't just sit around and say, "I didn't see nothing, did you? Man, shouldn't eat that pizza so late at night, right?" You know, come up with excuses, or, "Wow, you know, that's some powerful drugs you're dealing with here." No, they immediately said, let's go. Let's see this thing that we've been told. I believe God knew their hearts. He knew that they would respond, they would go and see. And then once they went and saw, they would go and tell. They would tell others what they had seen and heard. Christmas is a wonderful opportunity to speak to others about the Savior. And that is one way that we express our love for Him, is by telling others about Him. So don't wait for special occasions to talk about the Lord. Speak up whenever an occasion arises. You don't have to be obnoxious and force a conversation, but just remain transparent about your relationship with Christ. Wait for open doors, and they will open. You may need to be imaginative a bit, but that's all right. Build those bridges from where they are to where they need to be. Don't hesitate. Speak freely. So now I'd like to look a little deeper into how the shepherds exercised this skill of witness in this passage. First, I want you to notice that the shepherds shared their experience. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What did they tell? They didn't go and say, well, back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said this and the prophet Jeremiah said that, blah, blah, blah. They didn't write sermons and have these written out speeches. They just went and told people what they experienced. Wow, you're never going to believe this. We're out there in the middle of the night, it's all quiet and it's dark, and boom, all of a sudden there's light and there's an angel. And then there's a whole bunch of angels and they're singing and praising. It's wow, it's amazing. And they talked about some baby that's lying in a manger. Who would ever think that? He said that that was the Savior, the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. They couldn't help themselves. They shared the experience that they had. They weren't called to teach and to preach and, you know, to write books and you know, come up with dissertations. Just tell people what has happened to you. Now, I'm not putting down biblical and theological training. I think it's valuable. And even if you're not a vocational minister or missionary or something like that, it's good to be informed and to know as much as we can. But you don't need formal training to tell others about Jesus Christ any more than you need medical training to tell a friend about a good doctor you've experienced. If you're a believer, you have a before and after story of your experience, what your life was like before Christ and what it's like now. And if they see it, they'll know that what you're saying is true. It doesn't have to be complicated. Your testimony is simply a description of what you've experienced, the difference Christ has made in your life. So when you have those opportunities, share your experience. One of my favorite moments in the life of Christ is found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. Jesus had healed a man who had been blind from birth. And it caused a big uproar because the religious leaders are always trying to find something against Jesus. And so they bring in the man and they're interrogating him. And down in verse 25, actually verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. He wasn't about to get into their theological arguments and discussions and debates. He says, I know this, I couldn't see, and now I can. And he did it. And it so frustrated the religious leaders because they couldn't refute it. I mean, it was obvious to everybody. People that knew him before, they knew he was blind. He'd been blind since the day he was born. And now he can see. That's amazing. What a change. All he had to do was share his experience. And there wasn't anything that they could do to refute that testimony. You know, more people are interested about your experiences than your exposition of the Bible. They're more impressed with what has happened in your life than in something that was written thousands of years ago. Not to say the Bible's unimportant, it is. But when you're speaking to somebody outside of the kingdom, they're looking more at what's happening now. What's happening in your life? What is something that you can speak to? So share your experience. Share from the well of your own life of what God has done for you. Second, the shepherds shared their excitement. When they spread the word, do you think they spoke in some drab monotone? Well, there was this one night out in the field. All of a sudden, an angel came. I doubt it. You ever heard somebody who's really excited about something? You know, maybe they're a Bears fan and they want to tell you about the amazing game that happened. Wow! Last 2 minutes, they overcame a 10-point lead and they went into overtime. And oh, there's a man. Yeah. They're sharing their excitement, right? And that's what we ought to be doing. What God has done in our lives should be exciting to us. And that excitement ought to spill out into others. It's okay to smile when you talk about Jesus. It's okay to even laugh. It's okay to be excited. That's infectious. Notice the reaction of the listeners. In verses 17 and 18, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They couldn't restrain themselves. I mean, this is the greatest news ever. And when they shared it, people just didn't say, oh, well, yeah, I'm glad it works for you. They were amazed. Wow. Why would they have been amazed? Maybe they were amazed that angels went to shepherds. Remember what I told you about shepherds earlier, right? Angels went to you. And some of us have a similar testimony. People know what we used to be. People know what our lives before Christ was like. And they're saying, God saved you? Wow, if he saved you, he can save anybody. That's right. That should be part of the excitement of our story. Paul could say, Christ saved me, the chief of sinners. And that's a very powerful testimony to others. The joy of their salvation, their eagerness to share it, proved beyond any doubt that their experiences were valid. They had truly found the Messiah. So the shepherds' enthusiastic, spontaneous witnessing had a profound effect on those around them. The news the men were spreading created quite a stir among the people. Other translations of that verse use the word marveled for the fact they were amazed. They were filled with wonder. Again, that doesn't happen when we're pretty ho-hum about the story of Jesus. We need to share the excitement. Christmas is an exciting time of year. Just ask any child, right? It's too bad many of us grow out of that childlike wonder and excitement for Christmas. I heard a song this last week that said, "Something about Christmas brings out the kid in me." Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if that was our experience? We could be a child once again and experience Christmas like a child. Have some of that excitement. The shepherds shared their excitement. And then finally, the shepherds shared their exultation. Verse 20 in Luke 2 concludes, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What was their focus? They glorified and praised God. Now, if the shepherds were around today, my guess is they'd have called a press conference to tell about all that they saw and they heard. They might write a memoir about it and then go on a book tour, right? They would have themselves as the headline. Angels appear to shepherds, right? And everybody would know their names because it was all about them. But not these shepherds. These shepherds glorified and praised God for the things they had experienced. And they're good examples for us to imitate today. They received by faith the message that came from God and then responded with immediate obedience. And after finding the baby, they reported the good news to others. They're glorifying and praising God. Think about this. The shepherds took the place of the angels. Right? See, the angels came and said, I've got good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. There's a Savior been born. Glory to God in the highest. But then it says they went back to heaven. We sing about the Christmas angels, but they're in heaven. But the shepherds took their place. Now the shepherds are going to everybody else and saying, hey, we've got good news of great joy. The Messiah has come. They took the place of the angels. And then they humbly returned to their duties. New men going back to the same old job. Now back then, for some reason, shepherds were not allowed to testify in court. But God used some of the most humble shepherds to be the first human witnesses of the prophecy that had been fulfilled that the Messiah had been born. And as a result, the people were amazed at what they had heard. See, the angels never experienced the grace of God, so they can't bear witness like we can. Telling others about the Savior, yes, it's a solemn obligation to witness whenever we can. But it's also a great privilege. We who are believers need to be faithful in telling others, but also praising God, exalting God. It's not all about me. It's not how great a person I've become or even how horrible a person I was. I've heard some testimonies that seem to be like, you know, one-upping each other on how awful and sinful I was. That's not what it's about. It's about God and what God has done and how God has sent his son on Christmas. We, like the shepherds, need to share in the exultation. I want to conclude with two thoughts. The first is by author Kent Hughes. He says, it's not enough to hear about Jesus. It's not enough to peek in the manger and say, oh, how nice, what a lovely scene. It gives me such good feelings. The truth is, even if Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but not within you, you will be eternally lost. The Christ who was born into the world must be born in your heart. Religious sentiment, even at Christmas time, without the living Christ, is a yellow brick road to darkness. Now, I, for one, am glad that for a brief time every year, even the secular world seems to acknowledge Jesus. But just acknowledging Jesus isn't enough. We have to put our faith in him. He must become our king. Not just the king. When those shepherds went and saw the baby Jesus, their lives were changed. They didn't go back to their same old, same old. It changed their lives. And we can have no less of experience ourselves. And if you've not had a Bethlehem experience in your own heart, you really don't have a story to tell others. In the words of that Christmas carol, "O little town of Bethlehem, pray these words, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today." Receive the gift of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given, and allow Him to change your life forever. Second, for those who have experienced the true meaning of Christmas, we need to be like the shepherds. They became the world's first missionaries, the first in a long line of ordinary, unheralded messengers of the gospel. God is on the move. He is building His church around the world, mostly through people like us. People that you will never hear of. Folks without significant Twitter followings, no official titles, and of whom the world is not worthy. Like another Christmas carol says, "Go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." Even if you don't have the gift of gab, we can still sharpen the skill of witness during this time of year. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You not only that You sent Your Son, but that You included ordinary people. Mary and Joseph were ordinary folks. The shepherds were ordinary workers. And I believe that You chose them as a testimony throughout time that Your truth is not for the elite. It's not only for the highly educated or the specially gifted. Jesus came for us all. And I pray that like those shepherds, we might all be faithful and obey, that we might receive by faith the gift of Christ. And having done so, that we would be faithful in telling others about the greatest gift ever given. I pray You would give us opportunities even this week to share our experience, to share our excitement, to share our exaltation of You, so that others will know what Christmas is really all about. And it's in the name of the Christ of Christmas that we pray these things. Amen.